Good morning, Class 12. I'm so excited to talk to you today about one of the most powerful and moving chapters you will read this year, The Last Lesson, written by the French author Alphonse Daudet. This isn't just a story about a little boy and his teacher. It's a profound look at how war affects the lives, identities, and language of ordinary people. We are going to discuss the feelings of fear, regret, and patriotism that fill this little French schoolroom. Before we start, let's understand the backdrop. The Last Lesson is set during the Franco-Prussian War, specifically 1870 to 1871. France was defeated by Prussia, which was led by Bismarck. After the defeat, two French districts, Alsace and Lorraine, passed into Prussian hands. This historical event is the core tragedy of our story. Now let me come to the story. Our narrator is a young student named Franz. Franz starts the day very late and is in great dread of a scolding. Why? Because his teacher, M. Hamel, had promised to question the class on participles, and Franz did not know the first word about them. He was so tempted to run away and spend the bright, warm day outdoors, perhaps watching the Prussian soldiers drilling near the sawmill. But he resisted and hurried to school. As he passed the town hall, Franz noticed a crowd in front of the bulletin board. For the last 2 years, this board had been the source of all their bad news, lost battles, the draft, and commanding officers' orders. A blacksmith named Wachter, who was reading the bulletin with his apprentice, called out to Franz, telling him not to rush, as he would get to school in plenty of time. Franz thought the blacksmith was mocking him. Usually, when school began, there was a great bustle. The noise of opening and closing desks, lessons repeated very loud and in unison, and the teacher's ruler rapping on the table. But on this particular morning, everything was still, as quiet as Sunday morning. Franz had planned to use the commotion to sneak to his desk unseen, but he had to open the door and walk in front of everyone, feeling totally embarrassed. M. Hamel surprisingly did not scold him, but said, "Go to your place quickly, little Franz. We were beginning without you." Once seated, Franz noticed two very unusual things. First, M. Hamel was wearing his beautiful green coat, frilled shirt, and embroidered black silk cap, outfits he only wore on inspection or prize days. The school felt strange and solemn. Second, most shocking of all, the back benches, which were usually empty, were filled with village people sitting quietly, including old Hauser, who had brought an old thumbed primer, the former mayor, and the former postmaster. Everybody looked sad. Then M. Hamel mounted his chair and spoke in a grave and gentle tone, "My children, this is the last lesson I shall give you." He explained that an order had come from Berlin to teach only German in the schools of Alsace and Lorraine, and the new master would arrive the next day. Franz realized that this was the bad news they had posted at the town hall. These words were a thunderclap to him. The news brought an immediate flood of sorrow and regret. Franz realized he hardly knew how to write French and would never learn any more. He felt deeply sorry for neglecting his lessons, for skipping school to seek birds' eggs or go sliding on the Saar River. His books, his grammar and history, which had seemed like a heavy nuisance just moments ago, suddenly felt like old friends now that I couldn't give up. The idea that M. Hamel was going away made him forget about the teacher's crankiness and his terrible ruler. He realized the village people were there to thank M. Hamel for his 40 years of faithful service and to show respect for the country that was theirs no more. They were also sorry they hadn't gone to school more. So, who is to blame? When it was Franz's turn to recite the dreadful rule for the participle, he got mixed up immediately. M. Hamel did not scold him, but sadly pointed out that the great trouble with Alsace was putting off learning till tomorrow. This procrastination meant that the Prussians would now have the right to mock them, saying, "You pretend to be Frenchmen, and yet you can neither speak nor write your own language." M. Hamel accepted shared responsibility for this failure. 1. Parents preferred to put children to work on farms or at the mills for more money. 2. M. Hamel himself was to blame, admitting he often sent the students to water his flowers or gave them a holiday when he wanted to go fishing. What is the importance of language then? M. Hamel then talked passionately about the French language. He said it was the most beautiful language in the world, the clearest, the most logical. He urged them to guard it and never forget it, because when a people are enslaved, as long as they hold fast to their language, it is as if they had the key to their prison. France was amazed at how easily he understood the lesson that day. He realized he had never listened so carefully, and M. Hamel had never explained everything with such patience. It seemed the poor man wanted to give them everything he knew at one stroke before leaving. During the writing lesson, M. Hamel gave them new copies written in a beautiful hand. France, Alsace, France, Alsace. These papers looked like little flags floating in the classroom. The classroom was so quiet that the only sound was the scratching of pens. France even wondered, if the Prussians conquered everything, will they make them sing in German, even the pigeons? M. Hamel sat motionless, gazing at everything, wanting to fix the memory of his 40 years in that single spot. He had the courage to hear every lesson to the very last, including the history lesson and the babies chanting their sounds. Old Hauser, crying and trembling with emotion, spelled the letters with them. At last, the church clock struck 12. The trumpets of the Prussian soldiers returning from drill sounded under the windows. M. Hamel stood up, very pale, looking taller than ever. He tried to speak, but something choked him. He turned to the blackboard, took a piece of chalk, and wrote as large as he could, "Vive la France!" Then he stopped, leaned his head against the wall, and made a gesture with his hand. "School is dismissed. You may go. Now, let us understand the lessons we learn from the last lesson." This chapter imparts incredibly important life lessons, relevant even today. 1. The danger of procrastination. The collective habit of putting off learning till tomorrow is defined as a great trouble. Franz realized too late that he wasted his opportunity. 2. The value of linguistic identity. The story highlights the pain inflicted when conquerors take away the right to speak or study one's own language. M. Hamel teaches us that language is the key to their prison for an enslaved people, making it fundamental to freedom and identity. 3. Respect for heritage and effort. We learn to respect the long service of our elders, M. Hamel's 40 years, and the necessity of showing respect for our nation and culture, especially when they are threatened. 4. The universal impact of war. The story shows how military conflict reaches into the most personal spheres of life, changing school routines and crushing cultural rights. Now, let's quickly test if we understood the main points. I am going to ask 3 simple questions based on our discussion, and we'll answer them instantly. Question 1. Why was France afraid of being scolded when he started for school that morning? Answer is, France was in great dread of a scolding because M. Hamel had announced he would question the class on participles, and France did not know the first word about them. Question 2. Besides M. Hamel wearing his special clothes, what was the most surprising thing France noticed in the classroom that day? The most surprising thing was seeing the village people, including old Hauser, the former mayor, and the former postmaster sitting quietly on the back benches. Question 3. What powerful comparison did M. Hamel make regarding language and slavery? He said that when a people are enslaved, as long as they hold fast to their language, it is as if they had the key to their prison. To conclude, I can say that this story acts like a mirror, reflecting how we often take precious things like our education and our native language for granted until they are suddenly taken away. M. Hamel's desperate final lesson serves as a reminder to cherish what we have, especially our linguistic heritage, for it is truly the anchor of our identity. Thank you for listening, and let's try to apply these lessons in our lives every day.